Democratic vice presidential hopeful Tim Walz was back in Wisconsin yesterday. It's Tuesday, October 15th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Republican candidates for office have often run up the numbers in areas like Waukesha County for years. But that GOP support has been slipping recently, and now both parties are competing for votes there.
Waukesha County is my dream. It's a tough county because it is so red, but it's becoming purple.
WPR's Sean Johnson will have more on how suburban voters could tip the scales in Wisconsin. Stay with us.
Being up to date on the news matters to you. That's where Wisconsin Today comes in. These 10 minutes of the biggest stories from around the state, they're possible thanks to community support. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Walz made a pair of campaign stops in Wisconsin yesterday. As Joe Schultz reports, the Minnesota governor was critical of recent comments from former President Donald Trump.
Walz addressed a crowd of hundreds at a Green Bay convention center. He says comments Trump made on Fox News suggesting using the military to deal with his critics are, quote, un-American.
As someone who wore this nation's uniform proudly, as someone who now is the commander and chief of the Minnesota National Guard, the idea of sending U.S. military personnel against American citizens makes me sick to my stomach.
He was joined at the rally by Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Walz also visited Lambeau Field and a restaurant at the Oneida Casino Hotel. Earlier in the day, he visited UW-Eau Claire. In a statement, the Republican Party of Wisconsin called Walz an extreme Democrat. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Absentee ballot drop boxes have been back in the news lately. Last month, the mayor of Wausau removed that city's drop box. It's since been returned, but the move reignited debate over security of the boxes. That was first stirred up during the 2020 election, and those debates led to high-profile litigation, according to Rob Yablon, an election law expert at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
In 2022, the Wisconsin Supreme Court held that state law didn't authorize the use of drop boxes by local election officials. This past summer, they reversed that decision, and so drop boxes will be back in at least some municipalities in 2024.
The Wisconsin Elections Commission recommends that boxes be in a well-lit area, anchored to the ground, and emptied regularly. You can find out whether you can vote via drop box at myvote.wi.gov. Milwaukee Public School and state education leaders say the district still has not submitted financial data for fiscal year 2023. Corrine Hess has the details and reports that those are now expected to be submitted by Thanksgiving.
After financial mismanagement was uncovered in the spring, MPS and the Department of Public Instruction wrote a corrective action plan. It gave the district until the end of September to submit missing reports. State Superintendent Jill Underley says the process is taking longer because the problems were more significant than anticipated. Underley says the corrective action plan was never about deadlines.
It was about getting the required work done. And the fact is that while we insisted the district lay out a path, what we have been learning about the depth of the problem along this journey means it has taken longer than we've hoped.
Education officials say the work being done now will help MPS plan for the future. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Several Wisconsin farms are giving away tens of thousands of chickens through Facebook after their processor abruptly shut down last week. Pure Prairie Poultry tried to file for bankruptcy at the end of September, but the case was dismissed. The company closed its plant and left farmers in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Minnesota to deal with chickens that are owned by Pure Prairie. The farms posted their addresses on social media and have been giving away birds to dozens of people from across the state. Kyle Nielstestoon is president of the Trempealeau County Farm Bureau. He says the producers can't afford to keep feeding the chickens and don't have any other options.
Farmers are heartbroken, are not sleeping because, you know, they know that, you know, this is not right and they're concerned for their flocks.
A spokesperson for Pure Prairie said in an email that the company is, quote, actively working to recover funds to pay affected farmers. dozens of people are getting kicked out of homeless encampments at two Milwaukee park and ride lots. As Evan Casey explains, that's because the State Department of Transportation says they've identified safety issues there.
Homeless people have been living in campers and tents at the park and rides for over a year, but the State Department of Transportation said there have been issues like robberies and drug overdoses there. They're giving people 1 week to leave, or else their vehicles and campers will be towed. That's concerning to Mary, who has been living at one park and ride for several months. She's still not sure where she'll go.
It's just not humane. Where do you expect people to go? Are they supposed to disappear?
Over 80 people who once lived at the two park and rides have been placed in shelters or housing, according to the DOT. But other homeless encampments have been popping up throughout the county, as homelessness has been increasing across the state. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, WPR's Sean Johnson will have the details on how suburban voters could influence the election in Wisconsin. Stay with us.
Wisconsin life is about the food.
Tacos.
Who doesn't love a taco?
Exactly.
Everybody says, oh, this tastes good. How do you season it? Oh, we can't tell you. Just eat some more.
I wish my lemonade would be so famous that I could just walk down a red carpet.
Wisconsin Life, every Wednesday and Friday on WPR News and at wisconsinlife.org.
And finally, in a state as politically divided as Wisconsin, any number of voting blocks could arguably decide the next election. But the influence of suburban voters has been growing, partly because they've shown a willingness to change their minds. As Sean Johnson reports, that's been the case in Waukesha County, where both parties are competing for votes.
Volunteers worked fast to set up metal folding chairs on a recent Thursday evening at the Southminster Presbyterian Church in Waukesha. Almost as quickly as they're added, people fill the rows of seats. Amid the cacophony, the church's PA system crackles to life with an announcement. The monthly meeting of the Waukesha County Democratic Party is about to start. There's a guest speaker tonight. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez is from the county. She says she brags about the standing room only crowds at these meetings to Democrats in other parts of the state.
It is so exciting to me to see this level of commitment.
In the crowd is Chris Bethy from Pewaukee. She says she remembers when she moved to the suburbs 20 years ago.
We felt like we were the only Democrats in the whole county. And now I know most of these people sitting here believe that same thing. Until you start going to meetings and talking to people, and then you realize you're not alone.
County Party Chair Matt Moreno says it's taken years of work for Democrats to get to this point. But he says the suburbs are changing, and it gives the party an opening.
If we invest in this community, we block the Republicans from ever having a statewide victory in Wisconsin because we're undermining the heartbeat of the Republican Party in Wisconsin.
For decades, the Republican formula for winning Wisconsin relied on running up the numbers in Waukesha County and neighboring suburbs. This area was the foundation of the GOP's power in the state. Former Assembly Speaker Scott Jensen represented part of Waukesha as a Republican legislator from 1992 to 2006.
I frequently got as much as 78% of the vote when I represented this area. Today, that same territory now leans slightly towards the Democrats.
Jensen says around a decade ago, Democrats got more active, knocking on doors and putting up yard signs.
Before, they would just give up and try to rack up the numbers in Madison and Milwaukee. Now they realize they can win some of these areas, and they have been doing that.
Part of the reason both parties campaign here now is the mix of voters. You could find a sample of that at the city of Waukesha's recent Oktoberfest celebration. The county is still mostly conservative voters, like Ross Van Evenhoven of Brookfield. He says he's voting for former President Donald Trump, despite some of the stuff Trump says.
I look at it more of the policies are what's important. I could really care less what he says on a day-to-day basis. It's what he actually does.
There are undecided voters, like Randy Johanning of Waukesha, who doesn't talk about politics much.
I keep my mouth shut. So I listen. That's my thing.
And there are Democratic voters like Anna Marie Vassalotti of Waukesha, who says she's supporting Vice President Kamala Harris. Vassalotti says she knows some Republicans are considering doing the same thing. this year.
And it may not have changed their true political beliefs at heart, but at this particular election, they may choose to vote differently.
For Democrats, a best-case scenario in this election might be to crack 40% of the vote across the county. That may seem modest, but in a county the size of Waukesha, it changes the political calculus for Wisconsin. When it comes to why this is happening, there are a couple schools of thought. Trump's influence on the suburban vote can't be ignored. Since he arrived on the scene, Republicans' numbers have dropped in suburbs across the country. But suburbs like Waukesha County are also going through demographic changes. Moreno, with the County Democratic Party, says that could have lasting implications.
Yes, the next election is really important, but in Waukesha, we need to be thinking about the next five elections because that's where we're heading and that's what we need to focus on.
Republicans, like Jensen, think the right messages could bring back their commanding margins. But right now, neither party can take the suburbs for granted. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And that'll do it for this Tuesday. Thanks so much for being here for Wisconsin Today Morning News. Appreciate you starting your day with us. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Bridget Bowden and John Davis. We're back here in your podcast feed again tomorrow morning, and of course, every single weekday afterwards. All you got to do is hit subscribe. We'll be there automatically for you every single weekday morning. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.